before Purim, so Be'ezrat Hashem, I made some recordings directly based on Rav Nevenstein's Sefer on Purim. And they were very, Baruch Hashem, they were well received. In the last week or two, I received a few requests to do something similar with Rav Nevenstein's Shavuos book, his Sefer on Shavuos. Now the truth is, his Sefer on Shavuos, I think in many ways, might be his strongest. He really touches on many, many of the basic themes that one should be thinking about in getting ready for Shavuos. So therefore, Be'ezrat Hashem, I want to start presenting, you know, short ideas based on Rav Nevenstein's Sefer on Shavuos, mostly his essays, his sichot. And I want to give an introduction. Some of these ideas that I'm going to be mentioning are, we would say, pretty high level, pretty intense, things like that. And they're coming from Rav Nevenstein. And when you hear it from Rav Nevenstein, it carries a lot of weight. It has a big impact. It's not that I'm saying it for myself. When I'm saying these ideas over, I'm speaking to myself as much as to many of you. His ideas are very strong, and all of us can learn and should learn from what he has to say. But again, when you remind yourself who's talking, it has a greater impact. When you read Rav Nevenstein's Svarim, the Musar, the Hashkafa, the tremendous push he gives for growth in Avodas Hashem, it's worthwhile just to remind ourselves who he is a little bit. So I just want to share with you two stories that should give us a little shot in the arm who Rav Nevenstein is. And so then, as we're listening and thinking about the ideas, see, everything Rav Nevenstein says, he lives himself. Everything he writes, he lives himself. And that adds more weight to what he's saying. So first of all, Rav Chizkiya Shlita, his son, told us that once, that Rav Chizkiya noticed that in Rav Nevenstein's writings, there's one particular midah which Rav Nevenstein doesn't really talk about that much, doesn't talk about. And Rav Chizkiya noticed. It's amazing that he noticed, by the way, because that shows that Rav Chizkiya is a very careful reader and learner and listener to whatever his father says. And Rav Chizkiya told us that he asked his father about this. How come you never talk about this topic in your Sfarim? So Rav Nevenstein answered that, Rav Chizkiya told us, that midah, I don't feel I've worked on enough that I can write about it. Wow. So what's the diuk? That the other 5,000 midos and yesodos and 10,000 divrei musar that he talks about, he does feel he's worked on enough, at least to talk about it. That's amazing. It's a frightening story in a positive way. That when you're reading these ideas and hearing them, who Rav Nevenstein is. The second story I've also told before, I heard from Rabbi Mark Wilds, Shlita. He was involved in Manhattan in a lot of Kiruv work. He tells the following story. I heard it directly from him. And the person who was involved in the story, he'll tell you his name. You can call him on the phone. He once brought a group of not yet fully religious Jews to Israel. And part of the trip, they went to visit Rav Nevenstein. And one of the people, there was Lalenu, he was blind. And as they... So Rav Nevenstein, you know, he always jumps to do mitzvahs and chesed. He got up to take the blind person and lead him to the door, you know, to help him a little bit. So when he took him by the arm, by the hand, the blind person turned to him and said, "Who are you? I feel holiness when you touch me." So Rav Nevenstein sort of tried to avoid the question a little. And then he said again, "No, no. Many people help me, you know, get around. And they take him by the hand. When you touch me, I feel holiness. How are you so holy?" So Rav Nevenstein now was sort of stuck. What's he going to do? He's not going to lie. He was asked a direct question. So Rabbi Wilds reports that Rav Nevenstein said, "I'm fortunate to have great teachers, and I try to mentor whenever I can." What a story. So this story made it around yeshiva, and Rav Darmoni Shlita, one of the leading rebbes in the yeshiva, on the spot, he gave the correct pshat to the story, that we know that if a person, well, you know, a person can't see, So then the other senses pick it up, are heightened. He can hear better. So apparently when this person who can't see, so we would say that his spiritual spider sense was heightened. And now he's able to be physically, he can connect to Kedusha and feel the holiness. Rav Nebenzahl quotes a story from Chazal that the Tanaim could tell whether someone had done a mitzvah that day. They could almost smell it in the air. This is who Rav Nebenzahl is, and with that, that's important to keep in mind as we're hearing these ideas. One other point that I've also mentioned before is from Rav Orlovich Shlita. And he says a yisod, which I think applies here. Often we'll have stories about Gedolin, and they seem so far out, it's beyond us. They live in a different world. How can I relate to these amazing Gedolim stories? So Rav Orlovich says as follows, Gedolim stories are like a compass. They point you in the right direction. A compass points to the North Pole. No one goes to the North Pole. National Geographic goes to the North Pole every couple of decades or every couple of years, sends back pictures. No one goes to the North Pole. So what's the purpose of a compass? It shows you where north is. You know the right direction to go in. When you hear a story from a gadol, about a gadol, even if it's beyond you, right, it shows you the direction to go in. Even if that's not my immediate goal, but I want to go towards that goal. If I hear a story about how a gadol is able to survive and be happy and flourish with almost no connection to Olam Hazeh, so then maybe I can do without two or three extra luxuries in my life. That's like one type of example. If I hear that a gadol pushes himself in an incredible way in a Melus B'Torah, so maybe I can push myself a little harder. Not the same way as the gadol, but I can work harder. Well, it's a very good muscle that Rav Orlovich has. So similarly, if we hear ideas and they seem a little beyond us sometimes, okay, they're beyond us right now. It's good to hear them. And it's good to move in that direction and be inspired to take a step forward and work a little harder. And often we'll be pleasantly surprised what we can accomplish. So Rav Nebenzahl starts with a shicha on Sfiras HaOmer as Hachana for Matan Torah. So he starts by quoting the famous Sefer HaChinuch, that the purpose of Sfiras HaOmer is to connect Pesach to Shavuos. We're looking forward to Shavuos coming, and we're counting to Matan Torah. Just like when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they're looking forward to Matan Torah. So we re-experience that every year. Now, with that in mind, he asks two questions. And these are famous questions. One question is, well, then why do we count upwards? We should count downwards. Looking forward, you know, when you let counting till 10 days till it ends, 9 days, etc. The end of the school year. So if we're looking forward to Matan Torah, we should be counting downwards, not upwards. He said, Bnei Yisrael, they had to count upwards. Why? Because when they left Mitzrayim, they weren't sure when the Torah was going to be given. So they would say, oh, it's one day has passed since we left Mitzrayim. 2 days have passed, and we haven't gotten the Torah yet. They weren't exactly sure when they're getting the Torah. But we know when it's coming. We know when Shavuos is supposed to fall out. So why don't we count downwards? That's a question. The Chinuch himself asked that question. Another question he asks is, why do we mention the Omer in the counting? If the focus of the counting is to count to up to Shavuos, we should have called it Sfiras HaTorah, as opposed to Sfiras HaOmer. We call it Sfiras HaOmer colloquially, and also in the Bracha we mention Sfiras HaOmer. So Rav Nebenzahl says like this. He says that Sfiras HaOmer is a time, it's supposed to be a time of spiritual growth. Some of the ideas he mentions are already found in earlier Achronim. The carbon offered on the Omer is a carbon of wheat, and the carbon a carbon of barley. The Omer is barley, and the carbon Tehillim is wheat. What's the idea? Wheat, barley in general, is considered animal food, and wheat is human food. So he says, on Pesach, the carbon is barley. Why? Because still we're on the madrega of a behema. Without the Torah, we're on the madrega of animals. We don't have clarity what to do, how to live our lives. Now we're counting up to Shavuos, Michael Adam. Therefore, the Sfiras HaOmer is Tekufa Titro Mamut, Mimatzav Shal Behema Lematzav Shal Adam. And that's what Sfiras HaOmer is all about. Counting upwards in the madrega. And he says as follows. He says a person has to know his level. Part of that religious growth, Hitro Mamut, is that a person should feel that he's free from Mitzrayim physically and also free in a Ruchnius level. He's able to grow at a high level. A person has to know, and Rav Nemetzel writes this often, talks about this, that he can accomplish a lot. Lo yeshfar b'enei atzmo. Don't feel you're nothing in your own eyes. You can accomplish many things. Even though a person is supposed to be humble, Rav Yosef, the Gemara says in Sota, Daf Mem Tes was a big anav. But at the same time that you're humble, you're supposed to appreciate what you have accomplished and what you can accomplish. The same Rav Yosef used to say in Pesachim Daf Samaches, without the Torah, there would be how many regular Yosefs would there be in the Shuk? Would there be in the marketplace? But because of the Torah, I was able to become a Rav. Lamadi Torah v'nisro mamti, Rashi says. So a person has to be Shafal Ruach, a person has to be humble, and at the same time you have to know your strengths. Know that you've learned Torah, you've fulfilled mitzvos, etc. That's the avodah of Sfira, to feel that we're moving from Behema up to Adam. We can accomplish a lot. And that's why we mention the Sfiras HaOmer. Yeah, I was at a lower level when I started, but now I've had one level, two levels. We're counting how far we've come, that we're moving closer and closer and higher in our avodas Hashem. This is why we mention the Omer. And this is why we count upwards. Rav Nemetzel explains. Then he goes on. He says the name of the Yom Matan Torah, Shavuos, also reflects this idea of growth. Why? Because the name Shavuos is a sikum. It's like a one-word summary of all of our closest to Hashem that we've achieved. The weeks of growth, that's the name of Shavuos. That's the very essence of the day. This is one of the reasons why Rav Nemetzel writes, there's no name for Shavuos. There's no date for Shavuos. Because the whole yesod of the day is after of the Yom Tov. You count 7 weeks and then boom, then Shavuos is there. The date is not what matters. It matters that you've had the 7 weeks of growth. So it's the festival of weeks, Chag HaShavuos. That means the Chag of completing the 7 weeks of growth to make ourselves more fitting for Kabbalah Satorah. It's a very nice idea that Rav Nevinsal writes. Rav Nevinsal continues, we should appreciate the greatness of Torah. We should appreciate the greatness of Torah. The Torah is Hashem's wisdom. It's the Chachma Elokim, Chachmas Elokim, and the wisdom is infinite. We have to do the best we can to achieve whatever we can from Hashem's wisdom. Moshe Rabbeinu achieved a tremendous amount. Shechai, a tremendous amount. And each one of us has to be Zocha in our portion, our Chelek of Torah, based on the work that we put in. Rav Nevinsal then says some basic ideas in Hashkafa that are very important. He says, every extra word of Torah is Chai Olam Chadashim. You learn another word of Torah, it's life forever. Well, the person who yesterday didn't know a Tosfos and now he does, he's not the same person. Even if you know half a Tosfos, every word makes you a different person. And that's why, and this is a beautiful idea, that's why it says in the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, that if you learn something from your friend, even one thing, in Parak Vav, then you have to give kavod to that person. Because he's become like your father, your spiritual father. Why? Hu holid Adam Chadash, he made a new person. If someone teaches you one thing, you have to give him a little kavod, extra kavod, because he made you a different person. Because knowing one more word, one more Tosfos, you're a different person. Very important. And then he quotes the Maamar Chazal, that when the Torah talks about Aaron's descendants, it says, Eile Toldos, Aaron u'Moshe, by Merik Yimel. Why is Moshe mentioned? Because Moshe taught them Torah. Since Moshe taught them Torah, he was also considered like he gave birth to them. It was a different out of an Aviyu. We think in our physical level, these things aren't so big. One word of Torah, one Tosfos. How much space does Tosfos take on the page? A couple of lines. Yeah, it's very small to us, but up in Shemayim, it's doing big things. He gives a perfect mashal. You look in the sky, you see a star. Boy, the star looks tiny. Put your finger up there and you can block the whole star. Yet really, the star is gigantic. So too, he says, every teva of Torah, it's in the olam osel yonim ein lehem shir. One word of Torah changes everything. And just like a star looks to us to be, this is a very good mashal, a star looks to us to be small, but in reality, it's gigantic. It's humongous. It was thousands of times bigger than the sun. Many of the stars. So too, one word of Torah that seems small, really, is huge, a huge impact up in Shemayim. And it brings a halachic proof. If a Sefer Torah is missing one letter, one word, it's puzzle. Mamish puzzle. It's amazing. You see the importance of even one word of Torah. But Nematal quotes a story from the Zohar. He calls it a Maisa Nora. He said that Bizman Chazal, they would take the Sefer Torah out to the Beis HaKfaros sometimes on a tainus. And one time they brought out a Sefer Torah to the Beis HaKfaros, and there was a Rash Gadol amongst the Mason. People there in amongst the Mason, the Neshama's there in the Beis HaKfaros. Why? Because there was an extra letter in the Torah and it was puzzle. So what do you see? They felt it. In the Ruchnius world, one letter changed everything. They made the Torah puzzle. So therefore, Rav Nevinsol says, Ad kama yesh laharich, how much should we value uliyaker kol os shel Torah on his ochim lilmod. Pshat b'chumash, pshat b'rashi, pshat b'mishnah, b'gemara. Every word. Olam os shleimim tuluyim ba'omdim b'chol os va'os. So Rav Nevinsol writes, during Sfiras HaOmer, we're supposed to be mizachich our nefesh, purify, cleanse our neshama. Sefira is the lashon of a sapir, like a sapphire, a beautiful stone. That's Sefira HaOmer. The goal is to make ourselves beautiful, pure, like these beautiful diamonds. And then he writes as follows. If our neshamas aren't purified, what's going to happen in Olam Haba? In Olam Haba, we have to have a kli kibul. We have to be ready to receive the Or HaLoki. And the only way to get there is to make our neshamas a proper receptacle for that. So that's what we need to do. We need to get ready for Shavuos, and then we need to learn Torah. And through the Limud Torah, through working on our Midos, we can prepare ourselves and our neshamas. So Sfiras HaOmer is about spiritual growth as part of our Hachana for Matan Torah. Where we started from, Omer, and where we're going, counting upwards. That's why we count upwards, and the goal and the essence of Shavuos is to have achieved that growth, and that's what we work on during Sfiras HaOmer. That's why Shavuos is called Shavuos, because it's about the culmination of all those days of growth. and during Sfiras HaOmer, we should appreciate, this we'll have more tomorrow, B'zat Hashem, we should appreciate every word of Torah is important. A tosfos, it's a very good mushal. A word looks like nothing, one little word, but it, up in Shemayim, it's gigantic. So too, the star looks like it's nothing, it's gigantic. We should appreciate that, the value of one word of Torah. And we should learn more and appreciate it more. That's part of our growth of Sfira, to appreciate the value of Torah. Then we have to understand that part of our Chanuch for Matan Torah is to prepare ourselves and our neshamas, purify ourselves more as part of our Chanuch for Matan Torah, which ultimately, he writes here, is part of our Chanuch for Olam HaBa. We want to achieve good Limud Torah. We want our neshamas to be pure for Olam HaBa. We have to work on our midos and our neshamas and our kedusha now. Then be mekabel the Torah again and learn more and ultimately be ready more for Olam HaBa. Rav Nevin Sar writes, Yiratzon shenizke l'chaim shal avas Torah v'yir shemayim v'nizke b'mehera b'mos b'yemeinu l'ros b'yeshuas Hashem al amo v'arzo v'har kotsho v'sham nale v'nire v'nishtach v'alefan av shoshmeim b'shana v'nasa lefan av olos re'iyah v'shalmei chagiga v'shalmei simcha v'nismach v'pnei Hashem Elokeinu kol hayamim. One more thing he emphasizes here, that when we learn, part of our learning is all the time, but especially during Sfira, is Lilmod Amanas Lasos, that whatever we learn, we're going to keep. Because we see that Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim apparently were lacking in this a little bit. And during this time of year, when you're supposed to be working on Lilmod Amanas Lasos, they were punished so severely. That's also part of our Hachana for Sfira, the Lilmud Almanas Lasos, the Nasa V'Nishma. B'zat Hashem, we'll discuss that more in the future Shiurim. This is a good introduction to what Sfira is about, what Hachana for Matan Torah is about, what valuing one word of Torah is. It's a good mashal about the star. Okay, we'll stop here.